every 2 days. Now you tell me God ain't good. And if you can come up with something other than good, he's better than that as well. God's an awesome God. Let me do this so somebody won't doubt my homiletics. Let's pray. Father, we come now and we say thank you. Thank you for this preaching moment, and thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. I thank you for the fruit that your word will produce, that it has already produced. Bless us now as we speak your word. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Where I am right now, I don't wish anybody else could be where I am right now. Because I'm at a place where I don't know what's going to happen next. But I'm at a place where I know I'm leaning and depending on Christ. Because I remember reading somewhere where he was up in the Moses, was up in the mountain with him, and he said, God, you can't leave me now. And I'm at that place. You can't leave me now, because if you leave me now, people are going to doubt whether you are my God. And I don't need you to leave me. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. And without him, I would be less than what I am right now. But with him, I am more than I am right now. Because what you see is really not me. What you hear is not me. It's the Lord using me for a subject. The great mercy of God. The great mercy of God. And I told the brothers Friday night that I had 5 pages and I wasn't through. But what I didn't know, that I was not going to write anything else, but I'm not through. The great mercy and love of God have been demonstrated down through the history. Therefore, help me, Holy Ghost, God's people can rest assured of his day, that his day of redemption will come. It will come as Isaiah predicted. All the oppressors of God's people will be crushed, and true believers will be redeemed by God's mighty hand. The Lord will save his people. A look at the history of Israel shows thus his unfailing love for all who truly trust in him. God can do what God said he would do. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn to lean and depend on him. Don't depend on me, because I'll fail you. I'll let you down. But depend on the Jesus that you see in me, that he will not fail. In the history of these people that God called his people, the family of Jacob and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God had already blessed them. He sent them down into the land of Egypt. And see, when God is going to send you someplace, he got a forerunner to go in front of you. Yeah.
Joseph was already there. Thought they had harmed him, but God used him. When they all loaded up and went down into Egypt, it was about 70 people. But when they packed their bag, help me, Holy Ghost, to come out. Somebody said it was 506,450-something men that came out. That's not counting the women and the children. Somebody said if you count the women and the children, about 2.5 million people that came out of the land of Egypt. But Baggett, you just told me 74, 75 went in the dead. But see, when God, help me now, when God get in it, he can take a little and make much. That's why all you got to do is just praise him just a little bit. Then when God get in your praise, it multiplies. That's why God does not do addition and subtraction and division. He does multiplication. It grows a whole lot faster. God took them and hid them in Egypt in slavery and brought them out. The great mercies of God. Just have, I think, if I can stay with it, 4 points. Point number one, God's selection. God's selection. I'm basing this basically on what we read in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had chosen Abraham and his descendants to be his people. They were to be God's family, his sons and his daughters, who would be true to him. But there it is. Down through the history, Israel had gone astray time and time again. Nevertheless, the Lord had always held out hope that they would not continue to disobey and break his holy commandments. Sometimes when we look at the nation of Israel, it looks as if God had made a mistake. What I picked up from that, I said, Baggett, don't you look at the nation of Israel. You look a little closer to home. You look at yourself. Don't look at your brother or your sister, what you may know about them. You look at yourself. So many of us think that we are all right. Nobody else is. Okay, but I'm all right. I told you the other week, sometime or other, there can be no hermit Christian. You got to have somebody else in your fellowship. But we think that we are all right. Well, I'm going to put you in the same class I am because I know me. So I'll just talk about me. We feel as if everything is okay because I look at myself in rose-colored glasses. Only see the good that's in me. But when God looks at me, he looks at the things that I have done that's contrary to his will. Don't you think you all of that by yourself. You got some help. God looks at us And if we have asked him into our lives, he does not see me as I am. He sees me as I'm going to be. And I'm glad about that, because I'm standing here right now knowing what I know about me, that God knows more about me than I know about myself. And I can feel somebody's eyes looking at me when I say how bad and how wicked I am. And I can see in your mind, you saying, how can he be preaching if he was like that? That's why I can. Because I've been there and I know where God done brought me from. God's selection will not be your selection, because you select people on the way that you think they are now. God does not see me as I am. He see me as I'm going to be. Let me pause here and take a time out and call us all in a huddle and tell you this. And because my wife and people tell me I tell y'all too much, but my mind, and she'll know the guy I'm talking about, Pastor Fisher from Stillwater, Oklahoma, told me before I start preaching. He said, when you stand up to preach, he said, God will fix you to preach. And God will put in your spirit to tell people things about yourself that they won't understand. He said, but you tell them anyhow. Because they need to know that God, if God waited to use a perfect person, y'all can get mad with me if you want, and I'm ready to go. There wouldn't be a one of you in this building today. Because God's selection, he select imperfect people to make them perfect for him and his will, to show the mercies of God. God showers us with mercy because he selects us to do his will. That song, A Wretch Undone, I guess that's why I can't learn but one lines in song. God uses imperfect people to come into his perfect world. And God selected the nation of Israel somewhere in there. When I read that, it said they would not lie to him. Don't look at me funny. Look at the person in the mirror. Have you lied to God? But yet God will use you. He'll use you. All you got to do is make yourself available. And don't have what we used to call rabbit ears. That's those things that used to be on the TV. You used to have to pull them out and direct them in the way that you wanted to so you could get the reception. Because if you have rabbit ears, You'll listen and hear things everybody else say about you that's negative, and it'll make you not do what thus saith the Lord. You got to have selective hearing. Hear what God needs for you to hear. And God wants you to hear that I selected you. And you can't look at me and tell me I made a mistake. God's selection. The great mercies of God. That's why sometimes I, knowing me like I know me, I feel sorry for the rest of y'all. Because God, unless he was God, ain't got no mercy to put on none of the rest of you. Because he used it all on me to get me so he could use me. Yeah. God's selection. It's not wrong. He selected an imperfect people to bring into his perfect world. And I'm on my way, because I know without a shadow of a doubt where God done brought me from. If I had rabbit ears, I wouldn't be standing here. I would have heard and I would have turned around. But I didn't hear you. You might have said it in my presence, but I didn't hear you because it didn't get down on the inside of me. God's word let me know that he selected me, because if he would not have selected, I could not be doing what I'm doing. You couldn't either, but your chance just have not come for you to stand up here and tell the truth. God's selection. God looked down at Abraham, said, Abraham, I need you to leave from everybody that you know. Yeah, Somebody want to stay close to home. Every now and then God wants you to leave where you're comfortable. He wants you to get out of the box. I know that there's not but 8 or 9 miles between Baker and Crestview. But I had to leave Baker. Didn't go far, just about 9 miles. But I left where I was comfortable. I left where everybody knew, thought they knew everything about me. And everything they knew was good, but I had to leave. Because God saw fit for me to leave, but in my mind, I stood in the road out there beside the church and said, I will never leave this church. Said, my membership will always be here. But then God told me, like he told Abraham, he said, get up your stuff and leave and listen to me. Although I was still living in Crestview on Valley Road, just like I am now, but he said, leave. My home was at that church, at that place spiritually, and God had told me to leave, but I wouldn't leave. Because I said, and my word meant something to me. I said I wasn't going anywhere. But God said, leave. And look at me now. I left, and God selected me to do what I'm doing right now. Don't you let somebody else decide that you don't do what thus saith the Lord. God selects people to do what he had for them to do. And God selected the nation of Israel to do what he had for them to do. That's point number one. And point number two, y'all going to have to stay with me. Don't leave me here by myself. Point number two is, I tile this one, the super glue. You know what super glue is, don't you? Super glue is something that holds something together that has been broken apart and look like it's no good. It's not good for anything. But if you get some super glue, it'll hold it together. And I stopped by to ask you this morning, if super glue is holding your religion together, if super glue is holding it together, you got some cracks in it. But the super glue that I'm talking about today is a man by the name of Moses. He held this nation together that God has selected. Moses held them together, and listen, seeking to hold a family together. The Lord always stepped forth with a Savior. In all of our families, we got somebody in our families that everybody else just seemed to depend on. And I know sometime when you are that super glue that's holding this earthly family together, you get tired and you get worn out. You get tired of everybody calling you all the time. When something go wrong with the family, they may be 5,000 miles away, but they know your number and they call your number when everything is going wrong. Long as things are going well, you don't know that they're alive, but when things go wrong, you have to prove that you are super glue. I see a lot of smiles on faces. You must be the super glue that's holding them together. Don't worry, just keep holding them together. Moses was the super glue that held them together coming out of Egypt, and God placed him there. You know the story about Brother Moses. He was born at a time when Pharaoh had said all the boy babies would be killed. See, God had selected Moses, and Pharaoh couldn't kill him. Pharaoh, listen to this now. Pharaoh had told the midwives, said, when a boy is born, said, kill him. Listen how he said, kill him. He said, take him down to the Nile River and put him in the river and let him drown. See, they wanted him to kill him. Well, Moses, when he was born, his mother and father took and hid him for 3 months, and he was a goodly baby. I mean, he was good looking, and God had blessed him, and God fixed her where she could know. She knew what to do. She built a little ark and put him in an ark. She did what Pharaoh said. He said, put him in the river. She put him in the river, but in the yard, it floated down the river, and his daughter or one of his family come down and saw him. See, God select people to do certain things. I don't know what Miriam was there for, but I do know what she was there for. God had placed it in her mother. Say, you tell this girl to stand over here and watch and see who get him so she could take care of him. Well, Miriam standing over there saw when she got her, and she goes up to her and said, do you want me to go get a Hebrew woman to suck this baby? And she said, yes. She went and got his mother and brought her back, and she nursed him until he was able to go back. See, God got a savior, and when God get a savior, can't nobody stop him from doing what thus said the Lord. God's all right, y'all. I know he's all right because he's my savior, and I know what he did for me. Somebody sung a song. He reached way down and picked me up. See, some of us get so low, if you come to the surface, you can't find them because I'm a little bit further down in all of my mess. When my mess get on top of my mess, and my mess get on top of my mess, it covers me up, and you can't find me. But I stop by to tell you that God knows right where I am. He reached down, and he picked me up, put my feet on a solid rock, and I say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I thank you, Lord, for the super glue that you put in Christ to hold my soul. See, that's what I love about God. God, my super glue, thank you, Lord, is Jesus the Christ. When he sent Christ into my life, he picked me up and he fixed me. Listen, you can drop me, you can throw me around, you can beat me up, but you can't take him out, because what you see, him is not there. He's on the inside, and what's on the inside, you can't get it out. But God got my super glue, and he based me in it well, and I thank him for what he's done. Moses. Listen. Moses was the super glue for the nation of Israel coming out of bondage. And in biblical times, they looked, anytime something got wrong, they would go to Moses. Because Moses told them what thus saith the Lord. And they believed in Moses the prophet. But Moses was a forerunner, a coming, what's that big term? A shadow. He was a shadow of what was to come. Moses was not, but he was a shadow of Christ to come, what Christ was. Christ was coming to save us. Moses took the children of Israel to save them out of the land of Egypt. He saved them. He brought them out. He was their savior. He was their redeemer. When we begin to look at people and place them in places where they have no business. Moses was a murderer. He killed a man. And that man that he killed was nothing but an Egyptian. But there it is. That Egyptian was made in the image of God. Why is he telling us that? That person that you stay mad with all the time that you just can't stand to see. Yeah. Uh-huh. They are made in the image of God as well. You got to love them. He didn't say like them. He said love them. Love ye one another. Moses killed something that was made in the image of God. Help me, Lord. I can't stand to see that person coming. If they walk down this aisle, you turn, go down the other aisle. What you gonna do when you get to heaven and you look up and whoop? There it is. What you gonna do? Are you gonna go to hell just because you can't stand? Point number three. I wanted to change this one, but I couldn't. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Or spare the rod, hate the child. Yeah. When people rebel, when God's people rebel, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, please, ma'am, and please, sir. God always disciplines his people as a loving father. God always disciplines his people as a loving father. You will not get away with sin if you're God's child. 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, doesn't matter. You will not get away with sin. Sometimes his hand of discipline had to be strong. So strong that it appears as if though he was the enemy and fighting against me. But contrary to appearance, he is merely disciplining me and his people, seeking to arouse us to correct our behavior. I ain't lost. I'm marinating you again. Because some of us don't see what God is doing to us as discipline. There's a very thin line between discipline and punishment. It depends on who's talking. Yeah, if I am being disciplined, it's not discipline. It's punishment. But if I am doing the punishing, as you call it, it's discipline. To the giver, it's one thing. To the recipient, it's something else. How many of you, wait a minute, let me see. How many of you can remember this and are willing to say it? Can everybody see me? Okay. This, this is you right here. And this is daddy. And that's you. And in his hand is that strap. And every time he hits you, you hollering. And he said, this is hurting me. more than it is you. Anybody else in here ever heard that? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you don't have to answer? What at the time that that was happening, were they telling the truth? Not to you, but to them they were, because they didn't love, they didn't want to have to discipline you, because it meant that somewhere down the line they were a failure, or you had failed to learn what they had been teaching you. That's why the children of Israel went in the wilderness for 40 years. Every time God disciplined, they did not get it. So they had to go another time around the mountain. That's why trouble keeps coming in our lives. When God disciplines us, we don't get it. Yeah, it hurts God. It hurts the heart of God for him to have to discipline his children. But God will not spare the rod, because he will not spoil the child. If you do not discipline children when they need discipline, you will hurt them later on. Most of us that are over 15 or 20 or 25, now, not then. My daddy should have whipped me more. Now, because I see that little bit of whipping that he did to me, how it, if he would have whipped me more, I wouldn't have got in some of the mess I got in, because I would have remembered. I know, think about Brother Jalen, he ain't gonna say that right now, because he about 12 or 13. He ain't gonna want no more whippings than he's already got. He think he done got enough, done got too many. But it's correction. It helps you later on. You realize. And any of you that got some of them to the house now, when you're mad with them, don't discipline them. If you're gonna put your hand, if you're gonna strap them, don't discipline them while you're angry with them. Sleep on it. Sleep on it. And it, because they're going to worry about it all night. Let them worry about it all night long. And then get up in the next morning. And if you're going to get them then, after you've slept on it. Because you won't be angry with them. And sometimes I just believe that's what God does to me. When I mess up, he says, I'm going to get you. But he sleeps on it. Yeah. And then he's not mad. He's not fighting mad with me. He sleeps on it. And then he disciplines me the next day. And I know then it's out of love. But when he's disciplining me, if he's angry with me, I don't see no love in that. But when he disciplined me, I know now that he disciplined me because he loved me. If he would not have loved me, he would have left me alone. Mama said, don't go out the yard. But you go out the yard. And when she get home, you already sleep, so she doesn't know you went out the yard. The next day, she sees Sister Smith down the street. She said, I saw him yesterday. Uh-oh. Yeah. But see, that's one thing I love about God. Nobody has to tell God what I've done. He saw me when I did it. And he will discipline me. He will not spare the rod, because if he spares the rod, he will spoil the child. And he does not, because he does not hate me. Hate me. He does not hate me. That's why he disciplines me. And all the time God disciplines you, he doesn't have to kill you. He doesn't have to put you on the bed of affliction. He'll let you preach a message. He'll let you play a piano. He'll let you sing a song. But you'll know that God is whipping you, because he will discipline you. That's the mistake we make sometimes in the church. When people mess up in the church, we discipline, we set them down, we don't let them do what they've been doing, and the devil just shout. They setting that joker down because he or she was getting people to come to Christ. But now the preacher set them down because they got drunk last night. Y'all know how to get drunk. But I ought to come up with some other way just other than stop you from ministering for what God wants you to do. I know in some way you're probably looking in your Bible now trying to find out where that's in there. I don't know what's in there. But when you just stop people from doing the word of God because they messed up, here it is right here. But if you could be where God is and look at you, since you were doing all that to them, you sit down too. Because you done messed up too. There's not a one of us. I don't care how holy you may think you are, how righteous you may think you are, you got marks on you. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all this. For this point here, I went to Hosea chapter 13, where he's talking to the nation of Ephraim. Ephraim was a key nation in the northern kingdom just before they was going into punishment. And Ephraim was the big dog on the block with the nations of Israel. He was the lead tribe. Everybody watched him. What he did, they did. So God got him. And all the rest of the nation of Israel. But God disciplined them. But also, he loved them. And because he loved them, he disciplined them by sending them into captivity. But he also, Nehemiah told the king this in Nehemiah 1, 2, 3, or 4, one of those chapters. He said, you told Moses that you were going to scatter us because we did not do like you said. But you also told Moses that you would gather us when we come to ourselves. He said, now God gather us because we are coming to ourselves and we are confessing the sins of ourselves and our fathers and our own sin to you because you are our God. God disciplined those who are his. If God never disciplines you, guess what? Yeah, you're not his. And you know without a shadow of a doubt where your sin, you could put your hand on your own sin. And God knows where they are too. But because he's God and he disciplined the nation of Ephraim and the northern kingdom because they were worshiping false gods, God is a jealous God. The first commandment that he sent down with Moses that he broke said, thou shalt have no other God before me. And he does not want to share you with anybody else. He wants you all to himself. Point number four. Point number four. You will thank me later. Don't see how I can thank you now, God, because I'm in the middle of all of my mess. I'm going through what I'm going through. And I'm standing here and I've been watching him all morning. I intended to get to him before now, but I can't get to him before now, so I get to him now. Deacon White, you're going through. You will thank God later. You don't see how you ought to thank him now, but you will thank God later. Lean and depend on God. Don't depend on J.D. White. That's what's wrong. We have depended on ourselves too long.
And I'm talking to you where I'm saying your name. I could say my name. I could say Westbrook's name. I could say Sister Jameson's name. I could say Sister Lewis's name. But right now, you are the one. So we got to learn to thank God. We're going to thank him later. I can't thank him now because all I can see now is where I am. And where I am is not a good place. I can't thank you now, God, but I know in myself that I'm going to thank you later. Because somewhere down the line, somebody going to need for somebody to tell them what it is like to lose those people that you love and you lose them. Bam, 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 bam. Somebody going to need to know if God's going to place you to tell them. You can't thank him now, but you'll thank him later. You'll thank him later because you will help somebody else. And some of the rest of you are going through something. You don't understand why trouble just seems to keep coming one right after another one to your door. Thank God. Make the devil mad. Tick him off. Just jump up and shout and start praising God. God, I don't know why, but I thank you. In the middle of our mess, we need to thank God. Because God's people got to go through stuff too. I've told y'all this numerous of times before. I personally felt like when I sure enough got serious with God and committed my life to God, nothing else bad was going to happen to me. I lied to myself. Same type stuff kept happening. But because I have come to God, it's easier to get through. When you're walking with God, you can walk through stuff waist deep and pick your knee up because God will give you the strength to do it. Where when the yesterdays, you couldn't pick your foot up in it. But because I'm leaning and depending on God, I can pick my foot up and I can walk because God have fixed me. Don't know where the strength come from, but God provides. When everything else seems to fail, God provides. When I don't know where I'm going, God provides. When I look in the meal barrel and ain't no meal there, God provides. When I look in the pantry and nothing to eat is there, God provides. When there's no money in the checking account, I write a check and God provides. God will provide. You might not thank me now, but you'll thank me later. When you're in the midst of all your mess, just thank God. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing, but I thank you anyhow. Because you're God, and you said in your word that you would not leave me nor forsake me, and I'm counting on that. Thank you. Thank me later. Thank me later. Thank me later. God will provide just what you need. You might not thank him now for that wayward child. But 15 years down the road, you'll thank God. You'll thank God. Because God will show you where this happened. And now this is what's happening because of that. Just remember, don't give up on God. Because the mercies of God are lasting. They are forever and ever and ever and ever. God's mercy is always there. God's children ought to always know that God is with me in all of this. I'm through. God will provide you with what you need. And it's all because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. parent lived in a neighborhood where there was a neighborhood school. She had a son who was a kindergartner, and they lived about two blocks from the school. School first started every day she walked into school. Every day she walked into school. And the other boys and girls laughed at him because his mama walked him to school. He convinced her to let him walk by himself. So he walked by himself. One of the neighbors that walked every morning knew what she was going through. She said, I know that Johnny don't want you to walk him to school. So I walk every morning. So me and my husband, we'll just walk behind him every morning. Oh, I forgot to tell you. One of the things that she had taught her son was the 23rd Psalms. So after about a month, he was walking with the other boys, being a big boy, walking by himself. And they looked at him and asked him, said, why do those two people there be following us every day? So they follow us every day till we get to school, said, and then we watch them. They turn around and go back down the road. He said, that's grace and mercy. Said, mama said they're going to follow me all the days of my life. Because she had taught him the 23rd Psalms. And I literally take that for the truth for me. I said, God's grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because I'm walking in him. And his grace and his mercy, he has dispensed it towards me because I'm his. Oh, might get sick, but grace and mercy will follow me. Won't be as bad as I thought it was going to be because grace and mercy are following me. And when God's grace and God's great mercy is following me, there can no harm come to this child of God. Will you stand?